Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania.
Keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Again, we bring you another in the series of programs, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Historical dramatizations showing the part our own state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 states in the establishment of our American democracy. This series is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our own Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home before to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
The struggle to form our Constitution was long and bitter, solved finally in the American democratic way of compromise, of give and take. Always taking a prominent part in the fight for the establishment of our country was our own state of Pennsylvania. Among the many leaders from our Commonwealth who took part in the framing of our Constitution were Benjamin Franklin, James Wilson, and Gouverneur Morris. Our story opens with a dinner at the home of Franklin in early May, 1787.
Gentlemen, I am delighted to welcome you here and serve as your host. It has been a long time since my little home in Philadelphia has been honored to receive such a distinguished gathering. I know that as members of the Federal Convention, the forthcoming deliberations will be as strenuous as they promise to be serious. I trust that the dinner this evening will, in some measure, give us all added strength to meet the tasks that lie ahead.
Your food is superb, Dr. Franklin. As excellent as our Articles of Confederation are poor. I am particularly appreciative of this bountiful repast. Since pausing in sober reflection, I am inclined to wonder how much longer, under these Articles of Confederation, we may be privileged to sit down and enjoy such a dinner as this. Any dinner, for that matter.
Oh, isn't your attitude decidedly pessimistic, Mr. Morris?
Haven't you heard of Shay's Rebellion in Massachusetts? A flagrant cause of a rabble uprising, taking the law into their own hands, terrorizing the countryside, overthrowing constitutional authority. Why, even 4,000 of the Massachusetts militia had difficulty in suppressing the rebels.
The Continental Congress lacks power to enforce order. Don't you agree, Mr. Washington?
Wholeheartedly, Mr. Madison. Whereas in the Revolution we were oppressed by external aggression, now we are cursed with internal dissension. Regrettable, indeed. It is but the other day we were shedding our blood to obtain the constitutions under which we now live, constitutions of our own choice and making. And now we are unsheathing our swords to overturn them.
If we don't do something about it, there'll be a Shays Rebellion in every state.
I quite agree with you, Mr. Wilson. Under the Articles, we have no national authority. There is no central executive department to enforce the laws made by Congress, nor a system of courts to pass upon them.
Yes, and furthermore, without the power to tax, we cannot raise any money or provide for an army and navy.
This fact alone is incurring for us the disrespect of foreign countries.
Something must be done, and done quickly.
Revision of the Articles of Confederation will not be enough.
We must set up a complete new frame of government.
But you can't overthrow the Articles of Confederation. Why, that's impossible. Unthinkable. It's treason, I tell you.
A few days later, at the meeting of the Federal Convention in the old State House, now Independence Hall in Philadelphia, George Washington is presiding.
The chair recognizes Mr. Randolph of Virginia.
Considering very seriously the needs of the nation at large, gentlemen, I propose a plan of government which emphasizes the establishment of a strong central government with proportional representation of the people in the several states.
Does the gentleman from Virginia desire the complete change of the present form of government? May I remind him and the convention that this meeting is only for the purpose of revising, not abolishing our Articles of Confederation.
I agree. We are not here to establish a strong central government. Why, that would encourage autocracy.
A strong national body may be desirable in many ways, but it should certainly not be controlled by representatives elected proportionately, according to the population. Why, that would be unfair to my state of Delaware and the rest of the small states.
With 16 times as great a population, Virginia would have 16 times as many representatives as Delaware. Why, that would not be safe. Mr. President!
The chair recognizes Mr. Patterson of New Jersey.
I am gratified to note that you gentlemen are keen to recollect the purpose for which we are here assembled. And therefore I am happy to propose a plan of government which I have drawn up, and which I am sure will meet with your wholehearted approval, since it proposes merely to amend the Articles of Confederation. Briefly, my plan proposes equal representation between the states with election through state legislatures. It is my contention that if the small states are to be protected, they must have equal representation with large states.
Well, there can be no recommendation of such a plan, much less an acceptance. A new sail is not the remedy for a leaking vessel.
Is it fair that the small states of New York and Georgia should have an equal vote with Virginia and Pennsylvania?
No, we can't. It would indeed be more unjust if the large state, through representative vote, were allowed to engulf, completely overwhelm the small state. And that would be the tragic result of such an alliance.
What is the answer to the issue?
Remedy then? One only. That a map of the United States be spread out, that all the existing boundaries be erased, and that a new partition of the whole be made into 13 equal parts.
Gentlemen, speaking for the so-called small states affected, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, and New York, I wish to declare here and now that if we are not put on an equal footing with the largest, we'll secede from the convention.
Quiet, Dr. Franklin is going to speak.
Mr. President.
The chair recognizes Mr. Franklin of Pennsylvania.
Gentlemen, our strength and our prosperity will depend on our unity. The diversity of opinions turns on two points. If a proportional representation takes place, the small states contend that their liberties will be in danger. If inequality of votes is to be put in its place, the large states say their interests will be in danger. Gentlemen, when a carpenter wishes to join two boards whose rough edges do not fit, he takes a little from both, smooths them out, and makes a good joint. In like manner here, both sides must part with some of their demands in order that they may join in some accommodating proposition. It is, however, to be feared that the members of this convention are not in a temper at this moment to approach the subject in a spirit of mutual liberality. I would therefore propose, Mr. President, that without proceeding further in this business at this time, the convention adjourn for 3 days in order to let the present ferment pass off and to afford time for a more full, free and dispassionate investigation of the subject.
Franklin's suggestion worked. Furthermore, it was Franklin's own compromise plan, moved by him in committee, that the House of Representatives be elected in proportion to population
while in the Senate, the states would have equal votes.
Look, Mr. Wilson, is it not splendid? The delegates, for all their differences, are at last signing the document.
Ah, Dr. Franklin, it is indeed a most gratifying sight. Many times during the last 4 months, I have feared we'd break up in failure. The spirit of tolerance and willingness to compromise evidenced here has been due in no small measure to your wisdom and influence.
Compared to you, my contribution has been small. You have been one of the master carpenters in building this framework of government.
The Pennsylvania delegation will now come forward to sign.
I see the New Jersey delegation is finished. Oh, Governor Morris, may I congratulate you, sir, on your contribution of the drafting of the final literary form of the Constitution. Most admirable. You gentlemen desire me to sign first for our commonwealth? It is indeed an honor.
And thus was established the Constitution of the United States, the greatest document ever conceived in the age-long struggle for human freedom.
Today we are engaged in a great world war to preserve for all mankind the democratic principle of liberty under law established by the founders of our immortal Constitution.
United with the loyalty and devotion which only a liberty-loving people can show, we are marching together to win this new battle of freedom.
We, the people of the United States, is not an empty phrase. As with the nation, the cry of every Pennsylvanian is, we will keep the faith. We will give our all to the cause of liberty and democracy. That is the spirit of Pennsylvania. That is what has made our great state the keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, you're the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
This program was presented by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission and the State Council of Defense. Do your part to help our country's cause. America is calling. Every Pennsylvanian is urged to respond. You can join the armed services of our country or take your place in civilian defense. Buy defense bonds and stamps. Work for defense at home, in the field, the mine, or in the factory. Do your part. And tune in again next week to hear Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania.